In Numbers 27, Moses, the same man who had been angry with those people, now God had said to Moses, "Moses, you don't get to go." But where was Moses' heart? I think Moses is a great example for this whole thing about obeying those who have rule over you, walking alongside of them, being supportive, submitting yourselves, walking alongside again, allowing them to watch over your souls and to do it with joy because he's going to be held accountable for what they do. Moses is a great summary of all of that. Because in Numbers 27, skip down if you would to verse number 12. Here's what the Bible says about this man Moses. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee up into this Mount Abram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. Amen. And when thou hast seen it, thou shalt also be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered." He said, "You're gonna right now, Moses, you're about to die. Moses, you're not going over into the promised land. Aaron didn't go over." He says, "For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation." He says, "Lord, they won't make it, not without a leader." He says, "Which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in." He says, "That the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him." Amen. Moses. Amen. They made him so mad that he rebelled even against God. And when God said to him, "Moses, you're going," Moses said, "God, they need a leader. I pray you'll give them someone who will lead them into the promised land. Strengthen rather than tear down, so that they might do it with joy and not with grief. Because when there's grief, there's no profit." God wanted to sanctify himself with the people. God wanted to show the people that he was a loving and a caring God, that he didn't bring them to a place to leave them, that he brought them to a place of hope, and he was taking them to a greater place of hope. That's who God is. For sake of time, we're going to skip down. I want you to, when you get home, read Philemon. In Philemon, you'll see that Paul speaks of one who had greatly strengthened him. He speaks actually of Onesimus, who by all accounts appears to have been a slave or a servant, who had ran away from his owner Philemon, who had been there in Paul's service and now had become a true servant of God, and now Paul was sending him back. And Paul called on the man Philemon, who had also been a great encouragement. He says, "Now receive him, but now receive him as a brother, not as a servant or as a slave." And let's close out in 1 Peter, chapter number 2. That's on page 895 in your pew Bibles. As God is calling upon us to practice godly fellowship, to trust those who are trusting him, whose heart's desire is to feed the sheep, to feed the lamb, to be the leader that God has called upon them to be, to submit to those who are in complete submission to God, those who would stand up with the message of God, even in an unpopular situation like the man Peter did. And then he says, what we need to do more than anything else is provide strength for them, that we need to be encouragers, understanding that they're accountable, yes, they are, for our soul, for their souls, and for the souls of those that God has given them the opportunity to serve. And in 1 Peter, he says, we are to desire to be more like Christ. And as we desire to be more like Christ, we will encourage one another. And I believe he tells us here that we won't jockey for positions. And we won't lose sight of the charge that God has given to us to serve him and to lead others to him. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Let's start reading at verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 1, the Bible says this: Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envious, all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. That we might just get so much of God's word, that we might just want more and more of it. If so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He says that ought to be. That's the discernment that God gives us. That if we desire the sincere work of the sincere word of God, if we believe on God with our whole hearts, then we won't be confounded, and God will give us the discernment to be able to know who we should follow and who we should stay away from. Verse 7, he says, Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed, but not us. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He says, dearly beloved, remember who God is and remember what he's done for us. He says, it's not about position, it's not about power, but it's about evidencing that we know this God and his grace. And he wants us to practice that so that the world might see it. He says, find a good leader and trust him because he's trusting God. Walk alongside of him because he's walking alongside God. Help him to serve with joy because that's profitable to you. Desire the sincere milk of the word of God. Let's pray. Father, this time it seems like I was preaching to myself. Father, I do pray that you would help me to be conscious of the calling that you placed on my life. Father, I pray that you'd help me to be conscious of rightly dividing the word of God, of watching over the souls of people, not getting lost in position, not getting lost in power, Lord, but just lost in the opportunity to serve you and to serve your people. Father, I pray for discernment for the people of God, not just the people sitting in this room, but I pray, Father, that you would help us to discern the true followers of God, that we would mark them, that we would follow after those who are following after you. I pray, Father, that we'd be careful not to give control of our souls and our situation to those who do not have godly principles and godly purposes in their hearts. I pray, Father, that we might strengthen not only the leader, but we might strengthen each other. I pray, Father, that we might walk alongside one another, that we might bear one another's burdens, that we might pray faithfully for one another, that we would seek you, Father, and that every opportunity that we have, whether layperson or preacher, that we would feed the lamb, that we would feed the sheep, and that we will follow Christ, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.